Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
News, good sports, all coming your way in just 1 minute. First, Meguiar's car waxes. They've come a long way. Last year, Meguiar's introduced hybrid ceramic spray wax. Oh, this stuff is good. I use this stuff. It smells good, too. It's advanced SiO2 hybrid technology. It delivers ceramic wax protection and durability. No rubbing, no curing, or buffing, provides extreme water beating action. This year, Meguiar's launched their liquid version. Seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements. Easy to use and apply. It's really, you do it just like traditional liquid wax, but it's better. Also, hybrid ceramic spray detailer. I love me some spray detailer. Removes contaminants like dust, fingerprints, bird droppings. Boosts the gloss, enhances the protection. You love your car? I love my car. Protect it. Ceramic made easy. Meguiar's.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Let's jump right into Karen Corner since we have a couple of Karen updates already. So Amy Cooper, she was the woman in Central Park that called 911 and claimed that an African-American man was threatening her. And he was a bird watcher and asked her to put her dog on a leash, which in the Brambles in Central Park, your dog does need to be on a leash. So she responded by calling 911 saying she was being attacked or being threatened. She was charged Monday with filing a false police report. She was also the one that had her dog taken away because she's choking the dog as she's running around harassing this guy. But I believe the dog is back with her. Cooper, who was mocked as a Karen when the video went viral, now faces misdemeanor charges up to a year in jail. And the man she was fighting with, Christian Cooper, no relation. He was the one that was just asking her to do what she was supposed to do, but she went a little crazy. The video was shot on Christian Cooper's phone. It's been viewed more than 40 million times. And we have a new one, but for a totally different reason.
I know Everyone hates her and loves him, but, and I don't know what the dog was up to, but if you're at the park and the dog's off the leash, you should leave the person alone unless the dog is doing something, like biting or barking or doing something.
Counterpoint.
Yes.
I'm told this part of the park is specifically where bird watchers go. This is where the birds they're looking for are, which is why your dog has to be on a leash so it doesn't scare the birds away.
But how does that work? The birds are in the trees. It's still a little, in general, leave people alone and take their dogs off the leash at the beach or at the park unless they are doing something, number one. She's still a bitch. But I'm saying, let's not forget about him. He probably could have looked the other way. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that he wasn't just some, you know, Boy Scout, you know, telling people what to do. He was trying to get something done here that's very hard to do when dogs are running around.
Do we know he couldn't accomplish his mission with the dog? I don't know if the dog was running around. I don't know if the dog was doing. That's what I'm trying to kind of figure out. But either way, look. If the dog was like running and flushing the dogs
out the birds
or whatever, by all means, if the dog was behaving itself and off the leash, then keep walking. That's what I'm saying.
Well, we could ask the dog, but it was in the middle of being choked to death during the incident. Meanwhile, we have a mask Karen. They're calling her Costco Karen. On the other side of the spectrum of this woman was, you know how we talk about combined age and how the dignity of being sort of elderly is not what it used to be? Well, here's a great example of that and a great example of somebody acting like an individual when they should probably act like a statistic. She's gone viral for refusing to wear a mask that, by the way, was dangling from her ear inside a Costco in Hillsboro, Oregon. The shopper argued with an employee over policy. She asked to speak to the manager and then sat right down in the middle of the warehouse. And they tried to get her up. Here's a clip so you can see for yourself.
When You need to do that as an apology.
I'm sorry.
Can I help you?
I am.
I'm okay. We're going to walk outside. No, I'm going to have him come
She's
out.
She's trying to escort her out.
I'm going to have him come out and see you.
But she sits down right now. In protest. While all the carts are trying to get around her.
Let's not underestimate pharmaceuticals, right? I mean, people may be on some sort of cocktail of like antidepressants and Sudafed or something. Like people may be altered. I think a lot of these Karens may be on something like
very possible.
If you went through and did a toxicology thing, would you find something in some of these people's systems?
Because it
feels like there's some mother's little helpers or something is going on. Like, I think there's Ativan or something. These people are on something. It seems very bizarre behavior. It seems super counterproductive. You know, like if you think about you being altered, when you're altered, you do stuff that doesn't always benefit you. You know, like the cop goes, I'm going to arrest you. Fine, arrest me. I'll get in the squad car. And your friends are all like arguing. Just go back inside the bar, Tim. No, fine. You know, and it's like you end up in a fucking drunk tank, right? Like how many times have you heard a cop go, just get back in the car and I'm not going to arrest. No, fine, arrest me. And it's like you do things that are counter to it. Yeah. So you go to Costco, presumably, to buy, you know, a ream of bath towels or something like that. And then at some point you find yourself sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
Which it's going to interrupt that process. If you're not altered, and maybe you're altered by insanity, maybe that's the alteration.
They asked her can you please get up? You're in the way. So she backed up against the little cart that the person looks at your receipts. So the little cart girl keeps moving back so she can't sit there. She finally sits there and the general manager comes and the manager comes and she keeps saying, I have rights. I'm an American. This is not in the Constitution. So that was the battle cry, I guess. But seeing someone that could have been a friend of my mom, we're seeing that a lot more lately.
Why are the people who are so adamant about a fucking bakery not being forced to make a wedding cake for certain people the same people who are like, I have rights as a customer. You can't force me to blah, blah, blah. Like the rules of the of Costco don't matter. Like their rule is you must wear a mask. Why is that rule all of a sudden alienable?
I don't know. That seemed consistent. Yeah, the consistent logic would be if you don't want the baker to have to bake a cake for the gay marriage, then that's what they believe, and then that's their rules. Well, but it transcends it a little because it's not Costco's rules, it's the state's rule, really.
I'm sure it's both, but yes, you're right.
She's fighting.
You said this is a private Costco and this is our policy.
Well, the state mandates that this is your policy. Like the state tells you how far to keep the state mandates the policy for the clubs, for the restaurants, for the bars, for the Costcos. So she's probably fighting against the state more than she's fighting against Costco versus the gay baker.
Yeah. I think that's the name of the bakery.
The state?
Ironically enough.
The gay baker.
The gay baker. Yeah.
Now, on the other side of that, just because this is starting to make the rounds again, even though it's from April, a video of a very angry realtor in Miami is back being passed around, and we've never played it on here. This was recorded at the end of April, which is interesting because in the video, she warns that if we don't get our shit together, we're going to be quarantined until September. Well, we're, you know, more than halfway there right now. Many states are close. It's being shared on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all over again. It's like 2.5 minutes, but here's just the end so you can get a vibe of how the mask wearers feel.
Wear your fucking mask, wear your gloves, or we're going to be quarantined all the way till goddamn September, and we may be spending fucking New Year's in our house because of you fuckers out there who don't wear your mask. And you know what? I give a fucking goddamn rat's ass. If you guys get pissed off at me, don't like me, and you know what? You delete me off your social media. You'll probably be doing me a favor. So I don't need fuckers like you. Wear your fucking mask. Wear your gloves so we can get the fuck out of our house, you dumb fuck.
Is she wearing a wedding veil?
She's wearing big sunglasses. And what happened to the gloves, bitch? That's my answer. Why? What happened to gloves? How come we don't wear gloves anymore? Like, yeah. What happened?
Personally, I can't find any anywhere.
It went from you have to wear gloves to no one wears gloves anymore. Yeah. Wear a mask. Do what they tell you to do. I don't think the deaths are going up like we should be. I talked to Drew about this earlier today. It makes sense that the cases are going up. It makes sense that the cases are going up with young people, because those who have been out in the streets over the last month. But the young people seem to be stronger and more resilient. And they also, we never really factor this in, which is we talk about a cure, a vaccination, or we're talking about the disease going away. But when you talk to guys like Dr. Drew, he goes, oh, we've gotten much better at treating this. We've figured out a lot of things over the last few years. We figured out steroids. We figured out protocols. They know a lot more than they knew. They were basically, if someone came in suffering from this into a hospital 4 months ago, it was kind of a crapshoot. They were kind of experimenting, put them on a ventilator, feed them this, give them hydrochloroquine and zinc, whatever. They didn't know. Drew said they've gotten a lot better at figuring out how to treat it and what to do when they come into the hospital. So give the medical community some credit for figuring a lot of this out in
quickly.
Quickly, but in place of a cure or in place of a vaccination. The protocols are a lot better, as you suspect it would be. Why wouldn't it be? They're physicians. They're medical experts, and they've figured a lot out in the past 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, we talked to the doctor that calls in, used to call in every night, and now twice a week, Dr. Ray Kasheri. And he said they're seeing a lot of success with hydroxychloroquine now. And I said, hydroxychloroquine, the death sentence, the one that wasn't helping? And, we talked about how that was given as a last resort. But if you're already at death's door and you're given a little bit of hydroxychloroquine, it probably won't make a difference. But when you give it early, possibly prophylactically, you don't want to wait till the last minute. Mm-hmm. Now, like you said, we know a lot more than we did. And I was meaning to tell you, just the math might feel a little fuzzy, but the idea was interesting. You know how we talked for a while about we had the protests, it's been a week, it's been 2 weeks, where are the spikes? And we didn't see any. That's something we also talked about, which was, it was interesting because what very well could have happened, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we talked about how everyone, a lot of people did get it. They didn't have symptoms because they're young and healthy and marching through the streets and yelling and screaming and energetic. They are fine, even though they're a carrier. They bring it home, and then it's a new wave. So the wave isn't, a week to 2 weeks. Now the wave they'd be looking at is 3 to 4 weeks, which does seem like there was a spike. And it's interesting because, it has become politicized. Well, marches are okay, but church singing isn't, so it does look like all encompassing without politics. It just didn't affect the people that were out, but they may have brought it home.
I agree. But then there's also a much higher rate of young people getting it. Or positive with it. So that you would assume those are the marchers and or their roommates,
Right.
So I think there's one thing that hasn't really changed. And I think if you step back and you look at this whole thing 10 years from now and you just kind of study it from afar, if you just kind of look at it like you're a ranger up on a mountain with some binoculars looking down on the movement of the troops. I think if you're young-ish and healthy, this isn't devastating to you at all. But if you're old and you're compromised, and especially if you're really compromised, I mean, if you are in a nursing home, you're doomed. And if you have pre-existing conditions, it's a situation. But if you're 30 and healthy, I don't even know if you're even going to know you had it in most cases.
Well, that's interesting because, the doctors are still saying, I don't care how young and healthy you are, you don't want this. It sucks. You'll live, but it sucks. And then you hear the mayor of Atlanta, the one we've been talking about, Keisha Lance Bottoms has it. And she was like, I thought I had allergies. So, yeah, I mean, it could be anywhere. She's like, I didn't even know I had symptoms. I figured it was allergies.
Well, I mean, you really don't want the flu and you don't want food poisoning and you don't want any of that stuff that we've all been brutalized by at one time or another. But I think the one piece of information we could have used early would have been nursing homes. That would have given us a lot of perspective in terms of people go to nursing homes to die. Essentially, that's it. You go to a nursing home because you can no longer take care of yourself in your home. And you go to a nursing home. I've kind of done it. I mean, not really times two with my grandparents, but I mean, you go to a nursing home when not only can you not take care of yourself at home, but like a full-time person who can't come to your house and take care of you. As I said to Dr. Drew has stated to me, when it's a two-person job to get you out of bed and into a bathtub, that's when you go to a nursing home. When you're literally being carried around like Ariana Grande, you got to watch TMZ, people. The point is she gets carried a lot. But the point is like you're being carried around a lot. Now it's time to be dropped off in a nursing home. And when you think about that, the person in that condition passing away versus young and, you know, full of life, that's a completely different portrait of what's going on. So,
well, and I'm waiting to see if there's any underlying conditions that come out about Nick Cordero, because he's the big name right now. You might not be familiar, big Broadway star.
I watch TMZ.
Okay.
He has, first off, all wives should follow Nick Cordero's wife. That woman is beautiful.
Klutz.
That woman has moxie. That woman cares about her man. She's very earnest. She's very sincere. A lot of floozies would have flown the coop and hooked up with the next tall drink of water that was coming down the pike. Not her. She stood by her man. He had his legs amputated.
One leg was
amputated.
Because of COVID?
Complications from COVID.
He got COVID. He was the toast of Broadway. I had all his records, and he also has a series of scarves that he sells online that I have a few.
Interesting.
So he was sick. He was in the hospital. They put him in a coma or something. I mean, he was really like touch and go for long periods of time.
Yeah,
she was inspirational by his side. And I think a couple of weeks ago he went home, or a week ago he went home, or something like that.
And that's something that's been coming out too, just because we have, you know, like you said, like a month more information than we had last month. So now that we're following people with COVID, a lot of people seem to be going through this roller coaster of getting worse, getting better, getting worse, getting better, getting worse, getting better, dying. So or getting worse, really getting bad. It's just, we just don't know enough yet. It's just crazy.
Well, I think the moral of the story is if you're young and you don't have pre-existing conditions, it's not going to affect you like it would affect people pre-existing condition or older. But there's always the outlier like Nick Cordero that it does very much affect, which is tragic, but you still can't build your life around how this affected that person so horribly when statistically it doesn't do that to others. And I don't know what the Nick Cordero thing was. He was a Broadway star. He got it. It affected him horribly. And I don't know anything else about that. And then he got it pretty early. So the question would be, like, what if he got it now and he's able to get the zithromycin and the zinc and the hydrochloroquine and all the protocols they had? Like, what if he got it tomorrow? I'll bet you it would have been a completely – he probably went to the hospital and they put him on a ventilator. Like, they didn't know what to do with him. He got it early. He was 95 days in the hospital, right leg amputated, 41 years of age. I don't know that he had any pre-existing anything.
Yeah, I'm
nothing
not seeing,
comes up.
Yeah, nothing comes up for anything pre-existing.
When did he? But 95 days in the hospital. I mean, he got this thing early.
Diagnosed in March.
In March. I'll bet you if he got it tomorrow, there would have been he would have had a much better outcome. Either way, his wife was by his side the entire time. She's a hero. I watched her on MTV. I mean,
TMZ.
TMZ, and then later on Extra as well with Billy Bush. All right, let me hit Geico. Yes, I spread it around a little. Geico, everyone, right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 50% off the top. And by the way, on top of the money you already save with Geico. So what are you waiting for? Go to geico.com, learn more about it. Never been a better time to switch over to Geico, save a bunch of money. And if you do it by October 7th, you can get in on the extra 15% at geico.com. What else you got? Gina Grant.
So we have a brand spanking new apology from a celebrity.
Cool.
So I did not know why she was trending when I looked at this last night, but now I do. Halle Berry has issued an apology after facing a little bit of online backlash over an acting role. This is according to Fox News. She sparked fury, they say, on Friday when she announced during an Instagram live video that she was considering playing a trans character. Then she posted a few days later this response. Over the weekend, I had the opportunity to discuss my consideration of an upcoming role as a transgender man, and I'd like to apologize for those remarks. As a cisgender woman, I now understand that I should not have considered this role and that the transgender community should undeniably have the opportunity to tell their own story.
It's called acting.
What does that say about Felicity Huffman? Trans America, that movie was a triumph.
Well,
do either of you remember that movie?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, trans character.
Yeah. No, I have it on Gay Ray. It's like Blu-ray.
Blue gay.
So, yeah, it's called acting. Look, slippery slope. It's the same thing with Jimmy Fallon and Chris Rock. It's like he is playing this person. This is not a general sort of portrayal of a black person or a general portrayal of you're playing a character, number one. Number two, how are you going to do this character? You need to play a male at some point and a female at another point. Whoever it is that's going to play that character is going to walk into the role as either a male or a female. Now, I guess you could say you used to be a male and now you're female. But when you go back to play male, then aren't you acting if your genitalia, doesn't your genitalia not line up with the role? I guess you want to keep drilling down. You know, you can just keep doing it.
Sure.
Can't Halle Berry just act?
And what about, oh my God, who played Brandon Tina? I can see her right in front of my face. Boys Don't Cry.
What's her face?
What's happening to us?
From the boxing movie.
Everything.
That's her fault. She hadn't done it. She hasn't done enough lately to keep her at the tip of our tongue.
I'm blanking out too, but yeah, it's from
this is
Irish Clint Eastwood boxing movie.
Yeah, Million Dollar Baby.
Right.
Hilary Swank.
Thank you. That's right.
I was about to say Hilary Swank.
That was embarrassing. But yeah, it's like these roles were considered, you know, heroic and triumphant and did tell the stories of people that we would have never heard of, and now are they villains? I don't know.
Well, here's what it boils down to. There are people out here. Here's what I'm saying. When you are a group, whether you're Black Lives Matters or transgender matters or whatever's mattering, you have X amount of time and X amount of energy. And as I always say, if you're PETA or you're Greenpeace or whomever, you have X amount of resources. Don't get sidetracked with tearing down statues of folks that may be on your side or calling people who kill cockroaches Hitler or getting into Halle Berry's grill because she's going to portray a male that's transitioning into a female. That's a waste of your time. It's a waste of the resources, and they're not anywhere near your problem. Your problems, and there are real problems, exist on different levels with different people, different statues. So go find your statues and go tear those statues down. Go find actual Civil War generals who were fighting for the South and go after those. When you start going after Abe Lincoln, now you're diluting with and fucking up your own point. And if your transgender lives matter, then go find politicians who are trying to put forth legislation to get rid of the third bathroom or whatever that preacher is who's preaching fire and brimstone about a man who used to be a man laying down with a man. Go find that guy and boycott his fucking sponsors. You going after Halle Berry is a fucking waste of your time, and it makes us all think you're idiots. That's the problem. Yes.
It's also a slippery slope that could backfire and blow up in your face, because Hollywood is partly, the history of Hollywood is partly defined by gay men masquerading as straight men their whole life and playing straight men in the roles, whether it's Cary Grant or Montgomery Clift or Rock Hudson. Or allegedly Tom Cruise, or allegedly John Travolta. There's more gay men than play straight men than straight men who have played straight men.
Have you seen the celluloid closet?
Sorry.
I don't watch gay shit.
Okay.
Look no further than Amanda Bynes and What a Girl Wants.
See? She gets it.
Was that her movie? What was the story of Amanda Bynes? Hey, I'm gonna get a lot of credit if I'm right on any of that shit.
What a Girl Wants is Amanda Bynes. What, you want to know her story?
Well, the story is she had to
One of her covers off as a guy or something.
Okay, yeah. Let me get the IMDb.
Jesus Christ.
Or what, that movie Ladybugs about the little teen beat guy. I can't remember his name.
The Rodney Dean? Oh, that one. Yeah. Not the Rodney.
Had to be a girl for the soccer team.
Oh, What a Girl Wants is an American teenager learns that her father is a wealthy British politician running for office. Although she's eager to find him, she realizes it could cause a scandal and cost him the election.
Oh. What's the one where Amanda Bynes became
She's the man.
She's the man. God damn it.
God damn it.
Wrong Amanda Bynes movie.
Yeah. Hmm. Oof. All right. So we weren't able to think of what's her name.
Hillary Swank.
But we were able to think of Amanda Bynes. Now, who's going to tell Hillary Swank this?
Yeah. I got bad news for her.
Not me. Sorry. Yeah. So the story of she's
the man. When her brother decides to ditch for a couple weeks, Viola heads over to his elite boarding school disguised as him and proceeds to fall for his school's star soccer player and soon learns she's not the only one with romantic troubles.
Wow. All right. Oh. Well, I find this problematic, right?
Yeah. Or let's go back to a great 80s movie, Just One of the Guys.
All right.
That's the whole point of that movie. She's hot, but she has to be a man to work at the paper.
Mm. All right. What else you got, Gina Grad?
Well, just to wrap up your point about who are you going after and who are you really attacking?
We mentioned
this yesterday, but we talked about how now that Hamilton can be seen by this, you know, worldwide audience, now it's being attacked because how could you celebrate Hamilton, Washington, and these slave owners? And, you know, the most multi-diverse casting on the planet, and they're being attacked. And Lin-Manuel Miranda did have a response, pretty measured, but this, because he was called out by this specific person, Tracy Clayton, and he said, appreciate you so much. All the criticisms are valid. The sheer tonnage of complexities and failings of these people I couldn't get or wrestled with but cut. It took 6 years and fit as much as I could into a 2.5-hour musical. Did my best. It's all fair game. So, like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, tried. Moving on. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, good measured response. Hey, Max Spada, one thing I didn't get into with Sean Penn is that thing about the Mexican director on the 87th Academy Award Best Director when Sean...
for Birdman.
Sean...
In Iñárritu?
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
Was that Iñárritu?
Yeah, sorry. Man? Yeah, he was... And he basically made a joke. Now, he had worked with the director before, I think, and they had some sort of past relationship, according to the article I was reading. But we'll find the clip of him opening the envelope or the winner is kind of thing. And he made a joke, and then he got a lot of shit for the joke. And then he had a response to all the people that were giving a lot of shit for the joke. So, sorry, here's the Academy Award.
Who gave this son of a bitch his green card? Birdman.
He obviously knows him.
Yeah, he knows him, and he was making a joke, and then he got a, oh, he directed him in 21 grams.
That was 21 grams, then, right. Well put.
And then he got a, of course, because we're living in a world where you're not allowed to make jokes, and especially not allowed to make jokes about ethnicity or any culture or anything of that direction. So he then got a bunch of shit for it, and then he responded in a way that probably gets him less shit now than he did. It's somewhere in his wiki page, I think, Maxipata. I'll buy you a minute if you're looking for it. Yeah, okay, I'll buy you a second. Let me hit Bet Online. Sports, yeah, they're coming back, man. People are getting into the game. How about you hook up with our exclusive betting partner, betonline.ag. Massive USC weekend coming up this weekend. NASCAR, Formula One. How about that? Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL Madden games, NBA 2K, and UFC daily. Plus, future odds on everything you can imagine. Season win totals. Oh, yeah, why not? Division odds, every league championship. Visit betonline.ag and use your mobile device if you like. Join the with the promo code podcast1 for your welcome bonus. So get going. Get that welcome bonus. We have a big UFC weekend coming up, so let's get going on that. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget, use the promo code Podcast1 for your sign-up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert. So people leave Sean Penn alone for the most part, and I think the reason they leave him alone is because when he makes a joke and then everyone demands he apologizes, he says what, Maxipata?
I have absolutely no apologies. In fact, I have a big fuck you for anybody who is stupid not to have gotten the irony when you've got a country that is so xenophobic.
Well, there you go. Fuck off.
There you go.
And that's why we leave him alone. So all the woke pussies go, all right, well, leave that guy alone because we don't get what we want from him. Go ahead. Sorry.
I had forgotten about that. But what the irony is that my image of Sean Penn is this humorless bore, because remember when Chris Rock hosted the Oscars and he did a thing where, like, hey, if you can't get like an A-list actor, get Jude Law. He's in every movie and he's cheap, or whatever the joke was. And Sean Penn took his opportunity to take to the stage whenever he was presenting an award or something. And he was like, by the way, I just want to say that Jude Law is one of our finest actors. Like, all right, motherfucker, it's a joke. We all know it. Get over it. But then to turn around, whatever this was, probably 10, 12, you know, 8 years later, and make a joke and be on the sort of receiving end just feels like such rich irony.
Yeah, well, he got...
You guys remember that? The Chris Rock hosted Oscars where he made the joke about Jude Law and Sean Penn?
No, but I buy it.
For some reason.
Yeah,
he's so dour.
Chris Rock sent out all those hateful gay tweets, right, about his son. It's
no,
all
that's the other
one. Different
life's one, just turning into one big smoothie for me, man.
So, question: how come? And maybe the answer is I got this wrong. But how come Ricky Gervais is still so goddamn beloved? Because he is. Am I wrong about that? Don't we love Ricky Gervais?
Listen, I'll tell you. You ready, ladies?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what a girl wants. I'll give you my Mel Gibson. Everyone always does this, like, apologize, apologize, apologize. And it's sort of like when a young chick is like saying to a guy, like, open the car door, be a gentleman, and all that kind of stuff. Really, give him a little tug on the hair and a slap on the fanny. Oh, that's, now we're talking. You know what I mean?
That's what a girl wants.
That's what a girl wants. And so they're always like, apologize, 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 apologize. And then you go, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you go, you feckless, weak coward, you sicken me.
You like it.
But when Sean Penn or Ricky Gervais goes, fuck off, you go, ah.
Ooh, I just got a tingle.
He's a bad boy, isn't
no
he?
No one talks to me that
right.
way.
And we're that way as a society, right? Like, we go, apologize. We need you to apologize. And then they apologize. You go, oh, you're spineless and weak. Yeah. You're oatmeal. We like Ricky Gervais because he fucking goes, fuck you. I'm getting drunk and making some jokes at your expense. And we go, our pussy just got wet. That's the way we work. So we say we want this, but we don't really want it. We actually look at you as sort of weak and cowardly when you do it.
That's Charles Barkley's whole appeal, man. He says off color and weird and frankly inappropriate things all the time. He's like, fuck it, I'm rich. Say whatever
right,
I want.
Right. Now, unfortunately, there's like a steeping period where you must become that person that's very difficult, you know? So everyone is offended and wants you to apologize and threatening to fire you. And then if you can get through that gauntlet, then it becomes your brand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you cave in sort of the middle of that gauntlet,
it's over.
It'll get you. So it's a kind of a thing where it's like you're running through this gauntlet and there's traps and fire shooting out. And if you just like stop and go, I'm scared to go any further, you'll just burn up in there. If you make it to the other side, then you kind of become ultimately you're Don Rickles. Like, I mean, first things first, you sort of Don Rickles. You're kind of Snoop Dogg. You're kind of Howard Sterny. You know, you're
Snoop Dogg apologized.
Snoop Dogg
to Gail.
Snoop Dogg apologized because what he said was, you know, when people talk about like hate speak and all that kind of, he really got into it. Like that whole Gale thing was him being, that was like, I'm not a Mr. like, oh, he crossed the line. But in a world where there is a line, that response with Gale, yeah, he did kind of cross that one. Even the great Snoop had to reel that one in a little. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've heard by now, I'd love to get your thoughts. Big old contract for Mr. Mahomes. Chiefs and the Super Bowl MVP quarterback have reached an agreement on a 10-year contract extension that ties into
Funky
Kansas City.
Dog hit, bitch.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. 2031. And apparently the 10-year period could be worth up to $503 million. The extension includes a $140 million injury guarantee as well as a no-trade clause.
Brian.
Got him for a while.
Oh, did he win the Super Bowl? I didn't watch this year.
Oh my God.
Brian,
it's the most important position in, you know, American sports. If you lock up a franchise guy for 10 years, it is prime, relatively, sounds insane, relatively cheap. Yeah, that's a smart move.
Relatively cheap.
Well, I mean, amortized over 10 years, that's only, I read from someone who's only going to take up 12% of their salary cap. Wow. And if that's your best player at your most important position, yeah. Smart.
Yeah. Also, I don't know all the ins and outs, but the $500 million doesn't always mean that's what you're taking home.
Up to, yeah.
Even guaranteed, or even whatever. There's a lot of like $500 million contracts that don't pay out. But I like him because he's quirky, cute. You know, he's not classic Tom Brady or Garoppolo, but he's got a quirky cuteness to him, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's those blue eyes.
He's got a boyish, good looks for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also humongous. How tall is he? He's like a physical specimen.
I didn't know he was that big.
I think he is. I've seen him standing next to some of the skill position players, and he like towers. I think
he's not a Cam Newton type, though, is he? He's not that big.
I'm thinking he's 6'3", 229.
He's a big guy.
Yeah,
not ginormous, like, but good size. Yeah, everyone's getting big. All right, let's do, yes.
I was just going to say, and he's likable, and you know, me and football, we know everything. But being from Kansas City, I can tell you that as a resident, a former resident, that goes a long way with people in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And if he was a dick, but he was a good quarterback, I don't think he'd have that much support. But he's so likable, it's a great place for him to be right there in Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the problem with Jeff George. No charisma. I know you're about to say that, Gina, but I beat you to the punch.
Well, I don't always want to step on your on your funk.
All right, one more.
All right. Well, let's see. Here we go. I've been meaning to bring this up just as a kid from the 90s, as so many of us can appreciate. Mike Judge's 1990s dynamic duo are returning to TV. Not MTV, though. Instead, Comedy Central is going to relaunch and reimagine for a minimum of 2 seasons Beavis and Butthead. But not just the Beavis and Butthead that we remember. They've evolved. The new show, which Judge will write and voice, is said
to be old Beavis and Butthead. That'd be great.
Hold on. A whole new Gen Z world aimed at both fans of the MTV series and new young fans. it's let's see, Judge's last project was Silicon Valley. What I did hear was they are now Gen Xers raising Gen Zers.
That's
which
amazing.
I think is kind of funny, because I've always kind of touched on this and thought about it, how we don't ever let our animated characters age. And I'd love to see an animated series where they age like in reality. So this is kind of funny to see them as, I guess, parents.
You know, it's interesting. Mike Judge doesn't have any kind of Hollywood trappings, and and he doesn't have any affect to him at all. Mm-hmm. He's been on the show before. We should get him back. But he's got kind of a
bald dude who lives in Austin, Texas, right?
Yeah, he just doesn't have any affect to him at all. No trappings, no cool shades, no goatee, no scarf. No, he doesn't have anything. And he did a voice for Roadhard. That's right.
Yeah, we went to. Where he was doing Silicon Valley, we went to the studio and we recorded him doing Hank Hill, quote, Hank Hill and Bobby, but they never said the names for rights. But he did the voices. So when you were flipping through the TV, you hear Hank and Bobby talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that was recorded custom for Roadhard.
Right. We couldn't clear the stuff, but if he did the voice and then gave it. Ooh. So it's like, I remember wanting to use a Blues Traveler song for a movie, and John Popper said, well, I can't give you the recordings of it because we don't own those, or you got to pay Mercury Records or whatever it was, but we can just re-record the song and you could use that.
Nice.
I thought that was pretty sweet of him. We worked around
Friends
it some other
places.
Way, but that was nice, but... Yeah, that's right. We wanted to be flipping through the TV, not seeing the TV, just hearing familiar voices. And we knew that Hank Hill and Bobby Hill would be familiar. And just as long as you didn't say Hank or Bobby, which you wouldn't need to, you just go son or whatever. And I wrote it. I remember kind of thinking about it. Right. But so he is insanely talented and insanely creative, but has none of the trappings that you would normally associate with that, and doesn't make the scene. You know, Tyler Perry makes the scene. You know, he's out on the red carpet and he's hanging out with Oprah and whatever it is. But Tyler Perry's a hack. Mike Judge is a genius, and he's done so many different things that you really don't even calculate it correctly, how much he's done, and he's not just creating it, he's physically doing the voices and participating acting along with Dawson. Probably saw, I don't know, the HBO animated, you know, on the road stories about all the crazy bands,
Tales from the Tour Bus.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. I mean, he's a fountain of creativity that is in a can of generic beer. You know what I mean? It's like he's a can of Schlitz, but he's a fountain of creativity. And then there's a lot of other people that have all the trappings and none of the contents, you know? But it's a sad testimonial to our society that when we're talking about the Sacha Baron Cohens of the world, or folks like, oh, so creative, you know, or even Seth MacFarlane or guys like that, probably don't bring up Mike Judge. And and now some of it is self-imposed. He's like, I'm just going to live over here and be a regular guy, and I can walk into the supermarket, no one's going to stop me. But it is interesting that he is every bit as creative as almost anyone who's come along in the last 30 years in this business, and prolific. And also, when you take a look at Beavis and Butthead or Idiocracy or Tales from the Road or Office Space or Silicon Valley, go crazy diverse. Mm-hmm. And if you stop most people in this business and you told them, you know, give me five big creative names, I don't know. I think you'd get a Seth MacFarlane would come up 25 times before Mike Judge did. Even though if you took their resumes and you laid them out, I think you'd see it was pretty comparable.
Sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Agreed.
And that's why Raisinettes sell more than Goobers, even though
Goobers are way better.
Oh, God. Are they still 10 to 1, Maxipana? Can you look that up?
Let me check.
Boy, do I feel sorry for that poor woman who had to share a flight with me to Minneapolis like 20 years ago. I was like, what do you do? She's like, I work with a Nestle company. We sell candies that go in movie theaters. I'm like, you sell Goobers and Raisinets? Yeah. I love Goobers. Hate Raisinets. Well, Raisinets, I'll sell 10 to 1. I was like, that was the entire rest of the flight made her be angry.
That must have been some internal information. I'm not
They're not putting it out there?
Yeah.
All right, let me hit. We'll put on your sleuthing hat and really take a deep dive.
I know,
would
I'm
you
have to
go on the dark web?
Okay. Ooh.
You know what? No, just occurred to me. Goobers are playing in a crowded field because that's just peanuts and chocolate, right? Mm-hmm. They got to compete with peanut M&Ms. Mm-hmm. They got to compete with God knows what, Mr. Goodbar, whatever is your peanuts and chocolate. Mm-hmm. Raisinets is dominating their field. There's no one else doing raisins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just out there making raisins. Like, fuck it. No one else doing this. Yeah, that's why they dominate.
Don't sleep on Mr. Goodbar, man. I miss those. I like gilding the lily, by the way, which is taking the Mr. Goodbar and spreading some peanut butter on top of it. Oh yeah.
That's allowed.
I've gone there. Ooh. All right. Last but not least, Simply Safe. You don't want to feel unsafe at home, period. There's no place for fear at home, and that's why they're Simply Safe. Protect your home today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. I'm your emotional support animal is up. You can order now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and adamcarolla.com. And that's shipping post haste, so they're getting that's back in stock. They're going to start fulfilling. They're start shipping on Saturday, so just go ahead and get that in, and they'll ship it out. You guys can enjoy that book. I'm going to be on a Match Game on Sunday on ABC. So says the internet. Live shows coming up: Dallas, San Antonio, and Tempe. Just go to amcarolla.com and find out where we're going to be. I want to thank Jason Whitlock and Randy Rainbow for coming on the show. Good Sports is coming up next. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Gina and Baldwin, Randy and Jason. Say it. Mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Oh, stick around. Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla coming up next. We'll be back after that.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to another segment sure to be filled with some hot sports talk for you. Now that we're in the second half of the calendar year 2020, Dave Damashek over here. Reminder, go listen to Dave's of Thunder, Dynamite, Gangbusters, work by the great David Feeney with his letter writing campaign, his latest bizarro stuff there. Check that out. And then in the studio, where else would he be? It's Adam Carolla. What's the poop with you, fella?
Every day is a good day.
Is it? Yes, that's true. That's one of those hollow kind of things that people say when they're, hey, how you doing? You know, kind of thing. Like, all right, I just say fine and let's move along, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a certain obsession with people who, when you pass them in the street and you go, how you doing? They don't respond. And then I like, yeah. I also like it when, and then I like when people defend them. They go, you know, maybe they weren't ready for that. You know what I mean? Like, what, you have to get in a 3-point stance in case someone passes you and greets you?
it's too much. So what was I supposed to do? He ambushed me. He tried to unearth information in my brain. I wasn't prepared to share.
I've also had it a lot where as a notable figure, some, you know, you'll be at a bar and there'll be some drunk chick and she'll come up and she'll go like, Hey, man show guy, you know, that show was pretty sexist or whatever. And then I didn't appreciate blah, blah, blah. And then I'll say to someone, this chick's being a bitch. And then someone will go, well, maybe she was just nervous. And I thought, so if I met Jack Youngblood or Barack Obama, I would go, hey, man, I'm not really a fan because I think you didn't do a very good job because I don't like you. Well, sorry, I'm nervous.
First of all, my first week in Los Angeles, you know, you figure you're moving from Pittsburgh by way of Chicago, whatever. There'll be celebrities. You'll see them every day. And sure enough, one of my very first days out here, I'm walking to my car, and on the other side of my car, walking the other way, was Mel Brooks. And I said, wow, Mel Brooks. And he said, hey, how you doing? And right. I said, good, Mel Brooks. And that was the end of that. That was nice. And so you're in good company with the hey, how you doing thing. The other side, though, I'm going to make a confession here. Larry Miller, in my first year of living in Los Angeles, he came in. His wife, I think, was a showrunner on a pilot that I was a writer's assistant on. And I don't know what came over me. You're going to resent me. You're going to think less of me as a human being after you hear this story.
That's not possible.
It couldn't go any lower.
I didn't say that.
I find myself like an out-of-body experience. Comedian, hysterical guy. I've watched him on TV for years, his specials on HBO and otherwise. And somehow I found myself telling him, like, I don't know why I would be so pretentious to have this conversation with Larry Miller, but I said, you know, I've seen you in Unnecessary Roughness as well. Like, I get why you make that movie for the money. Like, I get that it's not really a funny movie, but you make that. Like, and he was like, well, I mean, people seem to enjoy it. You know, kind of like, mm-hmm. Who the hell is this jerk talking to me about right. The quality of the movies that I'm in? What a jerk I am, right? So maybe I was nervous. You know what? I'm defending the people who said I was just nervous. I was just trying to say, like, I get it, man. I'm not one of the unwashed masses, but the jerk in that equation, Dave Damashek.
Yeah.
You're a jerk.
Get out the blaster. All right. So what's going on in sports, Sheck?
Well, I was going to bring up what's kind of blown up a little bit in Corolla Universe, and that's the birthday cocktail parties that you've put together. But before we jump into any of that, because I do have some people who listen have shared theirs. I have some good matches to get into here. But first, the big story of last week, and number one is now on the number one franchise of the 21st century in pro football. Cam Newton now presumably will be the week one starter. All this jive about Jared Stidham notwithstanding, it's going to be Cam Newton. You don't sign the former MVP and have him be a backup. What do you think, Ace? Camp from Tom Brady to Cam Newton. How did that strike you when you first heard the news?
Well, I was fine with it. I think we both are fans of Cam Newton, just physically mm-hmm. fun to watch. He's yes. just physically, whether it's a press conference or on the field, he's just a physically enjoyable guy to watch play football and off the field as well. He's a specimen, and there's an aesthetic there. So that's good. Number two, I'd never thought about this, but the whole thing was, well, the Belichick Brady. Now we're going to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, we're going to find out. Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? What's he do at Tampa Bay? What's he do with his backup quarterback or, you know, the second stringer? Now Cam Newton enters the mix. Cam Newton has, you know, been down for a few years. If Belichick resurrects Cam Newton and Brady has a fair to middling season over there at Tampa, it's really going to underscore it. You know, in a way, Brady, if he's worried about this part of his legacy, and I'm sure he thinks about it, in a way, he would have been better off with the unknown versus Cam Newton, because the unknown guy could just, if that guy played lights out, then you'd go, well, that guy was just a lights out ball player. That's who he was. He could have done that on any team. That wasn't Belichick. But with Cam Newton in the last couple of seasons being pretty subpar for him, if he comes and plays lights out, that'll be all Belichick.
I agree to some It's funny because I'm conflicted about that. One good year for Cam Newton then guarantees a second season in New England because of the fact that they can tag him without getting into the minutiae of the contract. They can tag him. They kind of screwed up the contract, did Cam's handlers. So if he has a good year, then they will presumably tag him and bring him back in 2021. But that also means Cam Newton is then a lock to go to the Hall of Fame because it means he would have had a good season in a different organization than he was in Carolina. I go the other way, though, on Belichick, because to me, if Belichick is vain like me and wants to play it safe, if you start Jared Stidham and you go 8-8, it's like, ah, what was I supposed to do? I had Jared Stidham replacing Tom Brady. Now Cam Newton, it's like, well, this guy's tracking to the Hall of Fame. So if you fail with him, Belichick, the stink's on you a little bit. Interesting stuff.
Well, Sheck, pardon my take, but I don't know there are many analysts out there that think Cam Newton's heading for Canton other than you. Is that correct?
I mean, I think I'm in the minority. I think people see it, and I think there's some people out there.
Let's not bring race into this. Just answer the question: are there more people who think?
more people don't think. I think you're right about that. Those people happen to be real.
All right, let me hit Bet Online Sports. Slowly coming back. UFC's back. NASCAR. Boxing, soccer, BetOnline has the best odds, lines for upcoming games. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, casino games, poker tournaments, the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag. Use your mobile device, promo code PODCAST1, for your sign-up bonus. So, you want to get in on a little action? Why wouldn't you, man? You've been on the sidelines for long enough. The world of sports is opening up. And again, you can always go online and play some poker tournaments Vegas style. BetOnline.ag. It's our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And I'll just say this to button it all up there. Cam Newton now enters the fray for the fascinating odds available now. Cam Newton, comeback player of the year. Number 7, Big Ben Roethlisberger, J.J. Watt, Rob Gronkowski. It's a juicy list of big names available for comeback player of the year in the NFL. Go bet it at Bet Online. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get it now at adamcarolla.com.